And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Wednesday. And here it is. It's the 14th day of May, and it's going to be a beautiful day, Bing.
Is it really?
It really is.
All right. I'll take that.
83.
That's getting there. Getting warm. We're getting closer to summer, aren't we?
Getting real close. So how's Bing Verbis doing this morning?
Bing Verbis is doing very well.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. Good.
What was that verse of the day? Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares upon you, for he cares for you. That's a good verse to have for today, yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Very good.
It's easy for us to get caught up in the cares and in the things of the world, the entanglements and all the snares and all that. And it's good to know, it's even better to know that God's got our back.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And he loves us, and he will care for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a wonderful way to live life. It can be, it's not often it is, but it can be a burden-free life. We have to just make the decision to take those things and put it upon the shoulders of our Lord.
That's right.
Let him carry it. He said he would.
Very true.
But it's a beautiful week. I love we get rain, then we get some sunshine
and then some more rain,
and it just makes everything grow.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's getting nice and green. The trip up here is green. You know,
I bet your garden's even looking good.
You know, my garden is looking good. Yes,
good.
everything in there is in the beginning stages. My corn, I even planted corn this year. It's about 4 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
And I put in my children bought me an irrigation system for it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just a little drip line, you know.
Sure.
But I started putting that in 2 days ago. And
yeah.
It's good. All I have to do now, instead of running out there and unfurling about 50 or 60 feet of hose.
Yeah.
I can just turn it on, because everything where the drip line touches will drip water on
there
the
you
plants.
Go.
So yeah,
that's nice. That's real nice. That's real nice.
Yeah. Everything helps.
Oh yeah.
But life is good for me. How about for you, Brian?
Well, I tell you what, life is good. You know, as long as you got Jesus in your heart, life is good. You know, and everything. Well, yeah. Bing, where are we picking up today?
Well, we're going to pick up actually in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll be right there in the beginning verse 1 when we get back.
Okay.
Paul's just instructing the church. He's really speaking to us as individuals, but more he's speaking to the body of Christ, the church, and how we conduct ourselves in this world. We are to be a force. We are to be different.
We are.
Much like the children of Israel in the Old Testament, we should be a peculiar people.
I say that quite a bit, you know, because when you look on people, are you really looking at somebody different? Because, like you said, the Bible says we're supposed to be a peculiar people.
That's right.
So they should be able to look upon us and say, man, there's something different about being
Verbis.
There's something different about Brian Sidebottom. That's right. You know, there's
something
different.
The way they talk, the way they conduct themselves, in their spirit, in their countenance, that should be evident. That should be
very evident.
Yes,
evident. Sounds good.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Who prays? 88% of Americans pray. 82% believe in the healing power of prayer. 78% say prayer is an important part of daily life. 63% pray often. 25% pray occasionally. 65% believe that they've had specific prayers answered. 79% saying praying helps speed recovery. 24% say they've been cured through prayer. 49% have prayed for guidance in finances. Where are you in these statistics? Where am I? When you get right down to it, it's time to start praying. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water. It's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the front porch here on Missionary Radio. Of course, Bing Verbis with us this Wednesday, of course, as always.
Well, so far, so good.
So far, so good.
Haven't had car break down or hit anything on the way
that's
here
a plus.
And all that good stuff.
That's a plus.
The Lord's given me safe travel to and from, which I pray is as Ken was saying, I pray for that every time I come up here.
Me too.
Lord, give me safe travel there.
Me too.
Give me safe travel back. Let me share your word today in an effective way. And you lead me, not myself, but you lead me. Ken was given all the statistics of prayer. That's such an important part in the Christian's life.
It is.
It should be a natural thing we do. I was challenged just last week from a lady saying, you know, when before you even start to pray, you should just have a time of silence and ask the Lord to speak. Ask the Lord to hear His voice, you know. And it is a good practice to just get out of the current of life. You know, we're in a rapid current in our country.
Yes. Oh, yes.
As soon as you wake up, you can be caught up in all this. And it's just good to find a time, a quiet time, a still time, really preferably in the morning, where you can just spend a little bit of communication time with your Creator.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a gift. It's a gift that we've been given.
It is.
And how many of us use that gift? Well, according to the statistics Ken was sharing, it seems like there are many.
Yeah, many do.
So praise God for that.
Yes.
So before we begin, let's just pray. Father, we commit this program to you. It's your word that we're sharing. And allow us, Father, to share it clearly and with the meaning that you intended. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, as I said before the break, we're in 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. And we're going to see there's a difference, as I alluded to, or there should be, between the way the world conducts itself and lives on this earth and the way the church conducts itself and lives on this earth. We should be peculiar to the world.
Yes.
We should be different. We should stand out.
Mm-hmm.
The world will find it impossible to live with an eternal perspective that we should have as Christians, because the world, for the most part, is living day by day, you know, for the day, for the present, for the physical, and is entrapped, even though they're unaware of it, in all the snares and the temporal rewards of this earthly life. 2 Timothy 2:4 tells us, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." So 1 Timothy 2:4 says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." We're in a war.
Sure we are.
And the war is not in our power. We don't fight this with our power, because we are just mortal, frail human beings. We fight this in the heavenly places, resorting on the power of the Holy Spirit who is in us, the power of Jesus' name, and the unmatched eternal dynamo power of our Father in heaven. Those in the church should be living with this perspective, okay? The church should be living for the hope, for the future reward, and the wholeness that we will one day receive at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those in the church should live above all the snares and the entanglements of this physical earth. Oftentimes, we will find ourselves in those snares and entanglements. But we have the power within us, not our power, but we have the power within us, if we are believers in Jesus Christ, to get out of these snares and to have these entanglements loosed from us. The walls that are built by the kingdom of darkness around us can be tumbled down by the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Godhead. So as we look at 1 Corinthians 3:1, we see the church in Corinth were living more in this world and its entanglements than they were living above this world and free from its entanglements. Verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. That's not a good report right there. The word carnal in the Greek is sarkinos, which means fleshly, natural, or human. And we said we cannot free ourselves from anything that the world throws at us with this fleshly, natural, or human effort. Here it refers to the natural man acting in contrast to the spiritual man in the case of the Corinthians, and oftentimes in the case of us, if we are not diligent and keeping our perspective on the eternal perspective and not the worldly, worldly perspective. 1 Corinthians 3:4 tells us, "For ye are yet carnal." So Paul's saying in this letter, this is where you're at. "For whereas there is among you envying," and that's the fruit they were producing, "and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" So Paul is really putting his finger in their chest right here. He classifies envy, strife, divisions concerning different preachers as what? Carnal, carnality. Now, before we go any further, it is perfectly natural and a sinless carnality, sinless humanity to have preference in preachers, and the sinless carnality or sinless humanity to have preference in preachers, just like it is sinless carnality to have preferences and types of worship music and preaching styles. But when it gets to the point of envy and strife and division with these topics I just mentioned, it becomes a sinful carnality. So all carnality is not sinful. It is only natural to have preferences, you know, to eat food, to sleep, and to do many other normal things in which, in their moderation, do not break the law of God. They become sinful carnality when carried to the point of breaking the law of God. Eating food to excess can become sinful gluttony. Sleeping to excess can become sinful in the case of a lazy and slothful man not providing for his family, for his household. Having possessions and earning money is not sinful unless the possessions become things we can't do without, or the money becomes something that we put our trust and our faith in. When Paul first came to the Corinthians, he could not speak to them as spiritual, meaning mature, growing Christians, but as babes in Christ. When Paul first established a church in Corinth, they were babes. They didn't know the truth until Paul established that in their hearts. They were first ingesting the milk of the Word. The milk of the Word is the pure gospel of Christ, the first principles of the Christian faith, which once ingested and fully believed upon, does enable them to attain a spiritual maturity by the indwelling and the leading of the Holy Ghost. That's just the beginning stages here. And Paul continues in 1 Corinthians 3:2, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat." What's the difference between milk and meat, Brian?
Well, milk to me is kind of you're in the process of.
That's right.
And then when you get to the meat of it,
that's
the main part.
So who would you feed with milk?
Babes.
And what prevents babes from not being able to eat meat?
Well, they have no teeth.
They have no teeth, yeah. So I fed you with milk and not meat. Meat being what Christians should be striving for, though, and what babes will strive for and attain one day as they grow physically. The more they understand the gifts and the power that is available to them through faith in Jesus Christ will bring the ability to eat meat, just as the babe, when it grows physically, will develop teeth to have the ability to eat meat. And verse 2 continues, "For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." So there comes a point in time where you should transfer from milk drinking to meat eating, mm-hmm. but they weren't there yet, according to what Paul says. So in other words, when I was first with you, I brought you the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, which, if we go back to chapter 1, verse 2, Paul already told them they were sanctified. They were set apart from the world. He already told them they were called to be saints. They were saved men from the world to minister to the world. So Paul says in verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, meaning you were not able to bear any more than what I told you when I first was with you. But then the verse continues, neither yet now are you able. Mm-hmm. So that's where Paul is taking them. And I think it's going to get their attention, don't you, Brian?
I believe so. I believe so.
All right. Now, let's set our attention on some wonderful letters from our listening family.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, I pray that our God will continue to bless you and all of His children, and that we will continue to obey Him. From Hopkinsville, may God continue to bless your ministry. Thank you for all you do to spread the gospel. From Cunningham, Tennessee, thank you for your service, love, and loyalty to the Lord. Also from Clarksville, I love Missionary Radio. Keep sharing the Bible with everyone who will listen. God bless you all.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Music and programming. To exalt King Jesus.
Missionary Radio.
When we left, Paul was telling the Corinthian church in this letter, in the second verse, I fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. And then he said, we left off with this, neither yet now are you able. You know, so Paul seemed to be expecting much more of them, mm-hmm. what they were unable to bear by this time. What happened to them is a question we would ask. Well, we will see they were the very same things that stifles growth in the church today. From the letter Paul received from Chloe's household and from the reports he has heard about the church in Corinth, Paul is telling the church in Corinth, they have not grown spiritually as he hoped they would have by now. 1 Corinthians 3:3 says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife, divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So according to this verse, there were three sources of their sin, okay, or three reasons for their lack of spiritual growth. First, their thoughts. There was envying, which revealed the state of their inner soul. Mm-hmm. Second, contentions in their words, which was not inwardly as outwardly proclaimed in speech, which produces strife. And third, in their deeds, there was open division among them. Division in the church is a sign that you need to address mm-hmm. if there is a division in the church, yes. because we are commanded to be one.
Yes.
One in Christ, one in the Godhead, one mm-hmm. in the body. And so their envying led to strife and evil speaking, and that led to divisions and fixed parties or factions in the church. We don't want two or three factions in the church. We want everyone on board with what Jesus says, be one in me, and I and the Father am one in Him, and we can be one together. That's the goal. That's the pattern. Mm-hmm. And 1 Corinthians 3:4 tells us, for while one saith, and here we go back to their allegiance to different teachers and leaders in the church, which is not good either. For one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? How, after these many months and maybe even years, after Paul established a church there, was the church in Corinth walking? Well, the answer is in verse 3, they were walking as men. He uses the word carnal. Mm-hmm. You're walking as men. And what kind of men does this refer to? Natural men, without the revelation of the Spirit of God. So that's mm-hmm. the way they were walking. I mean, anyone in the world can walk that way. Sure. Church is supposed to be what? Peculiar.
Peculiar.
Different, yeah. Right. Now, Paul begins his lesson in verse 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Paul, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? It's God.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth, who sows the seed of the word of God, neither is he that watereth, explains it, makes it understandable, but God is the one who germinates that. He's the mm-hmm. one who causes that plant to grow and fruit to bear.
Yes.
Now, Paul was telling them, regardless of any man's talents and any man's labors, they cannot be fruitless or fruitful unless God gives the increase by his blessing. Verse 5 says, the Lord gave to every man. Okay. Man does not possess it naturally. The Lord gave to every man. Verse 6 says, but God gave the increase. And verse 7 says, but God that giveth the increase. Once we are pulled out of the natural and made spiritual, mm-hmm. we become one with God. We should be a part of his plan. We should have no agendas of our own, and we should never seek our own glory in what we do for him. It's level ground where? At the foot of the cross.
At the cross.
That's right. But we should always strive to be a part of God's agenda, trusting in him to supply everything we need to accomplish his will for us while we are alive on this earth. If we can get to that point, if we can trust him to supply everything we need to accomplish his will for us, we're in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something that a carnal believer will be able to fully attain. You have to resort to the power of, and the yielding of the Spirit that's within you. 1 Corinthians 3:8 says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So we as born-again Christians are one with God, and because we are one with God, God expects us to do what he wills for us to do while we are alive on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
We are not all called to be an evangelist. Are you called to be an evangelist, Brian?
Mm, yeah.
Good. Okay. That's
yeah,
good.
I think all of us are.
Well, okay. But to be an evangelist, we're not all called to be teachers.
Teachers.
We're not all called to be pastors.
Uh-huh.
But we are called to live our lives in such a way as to honor God and acknowledge God
mm-hmm.
in everything we think and
yes.
do and say. If we live our lives in such a way, we will evangelize.
Yes.
We will teach.
We will.
We will pastor those who know us, just simply and we talked about that, by the peculiar ways, the different ways in which we live our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, we are all called to be evangelists and teachers because mm-hmm. we can do that as believers in Jesus Christ. We have a choice. We can view this world as lost world in need of a Savior and use every talent we have to bring uninformed and spiritually dead people into God's kingdom, or we can go through our days mimicking in a way what the world does, speaking like the world does, and be content to blend in with the rest of the people in the world who do not know the truth about Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's easy to slide into that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because part of the natural man wants to conform. You know, mm-hmm. you don't want to be a ripple in the smooth water. You want to conform. Mm-hmm. But verse 8 tells us, whatever we do or whatever we don't do, it is certain every one of us will one day receive a reward according to our labor. So it's very important to get on board with God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are laborers together with God. Who was Paul writing to? He was writing to carnal Christians in Corinth and telling them that those who planteth and those who watereth, this is concerning the spreading of the seed of God, are working together. They are one. They're doing what God called them to do. So don't allow a division to develop within your church concerning these men doing what God has ordained them to do or what God has brought them to a point of doing. The verse continues, you are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Ministers, or those who are called to spread God's word, are co-laborers of God, and believers are God's husbandry, or farm, or crops. They can also be viewed as God's building. In Ephesians 2:19, Brian, it says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That's where God wants us to go. That's Amen. And that's what we are. We are living stones that will one day inhabit the building of New Jerusalem, the city of New Jerusalem. Yeah. Anyway, this would be a good time for us to hear some good news from a very dear friend.
Yeah, Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing mm-hmm. Hope.
I'm Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope, here on Missionary Radio.
When it comes to witnessing, we usually think about words, right? We tell people about Jesus. We get into conversations about his gospel. We talk to others, thinking of the right words to choose. Speaking about the Lord is something that should be as natural as saying, God bless you. But sometimes it's not what you say that conveys the gospel. It's what you don't say. In fact, I experienced this the other day. I had purchased a brand new shirt from Chico's. I love the color. It fit just right. And the first day, I mean, the very first day I wore it, Ken and I were eating a meal together, and he wanted me to enjoy a bite of his dessert. Try this ice cream, he said. It's really good. No thanks, I told him. I'm full. Johnny, you got to try it. It's so good. Come on, he insisted. And he held out the full spoon with his other hand cupping it. I gave him a, okay, you win look, and he put it up for me to taste. No sooner did I open my mouth when soupy ice cream dripped on my nice new shirt. Ken was horrified. Oh no, look what I did, he said. I'm so sorry. He knew the shirt was brand new. Somehow, though, I knew this was going to happen. And I told him, it's okay, it's okay. So then he tried to wipe it off right away with a wet tissue. Really, I told him, don't worry about it. It's no problem. I could tell he felt awful. Ken Tata, it's fine. It'll come out in the wash. Don't worry. It's just a shirt. My husband right there tried to convince me to go online to Chico's and buy a replacement. But really, it was okay. Honestly. And much later on, the next day, Ken thanked me and shared how grateful he was that I gave him such a free pass. I think he knew what he would have said had I spilled something on his nice new shirt, but that's another story. Anyway, the point is, I don't know if Ken realized it or not, but what I really gave him was the gospel. Not through what I said, but what I did not say. I did not say, why did you make me take that ice cream? Or, I can't believe you did that. Don't you know this is a brand new blouse? Now, sure, there was a time I would usually say those grating, accusing words, but not now, not as long as we've been married, not this time. They were never spoken, those words. What I said was, Sweetheart, it's just a blouse. Life is bigger. My time together with you is so much bigger than a soiled shirt. That right there may be the best way to give the gospel, especially in the small irritations of life. Yes, you can declare the gospel with persuasive words, but to demonstrate the good news with unspoken words, oh boy, that is mercy. And maybe it might be just as powerful, if not more powerful, than what you say. To show the good news in action, not just talk about it. Long ago, early in our marriage, I memorized 1 Corinthians 13, because when it comes to marriage, there's nothing like that phrase, quote, love does not keep a record of wrongs. Wow. Anne Graham Lotz once said, a witness that is lived can be as powerful as the one that is spoken. It's not what you say, but sometimes what you don't say that catches the attention of those around you, which is one reason God allows injustice and hardship, because problems offer us the opportunity to give silent, relevant witness to the difference faith in God can make. Oh, friend, it's a way to witness about the mercy of Jesus, and it is oh so powerful. Just ask my husband.
Whether you're a new listener or have listened for over 40 years, we appreciate you. We're 100% listener-funded missionary radio in partnership with TWR. One of the ways to assure that missionary radio is funded is to join the Firm Friend Club. The Firm Friend Club is a monthly automatic bank draft from your account to ours in the amount you choose. Go to missionary.radio, click on donate, and download the required documents. If you don't have access to the internet, please call 877-885-9655 and we will mail those to you. You can also give with your credit or debit card by giving through Cornerstone Payment System at missionary.radio. You may set up a recurring gift through Cornerstone Payment System. We are grateful for your prayers and financial gifts to 100% listener-funded missionary radio and online at missionary.radio.
24/7 Missionary Radio. The front porch.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in 1 Corinthians, and we're actually about to enter verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 3. And this is where Paul is stating, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, the plan belonged to God, Brian, but the execution, or the strategy, the plan, God entrusted to Paul. There's no doubt that Paul received this from God, because Paul actually saw Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ told him, you are going to be an instrument that I will use to reach the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
And he changed his name from Saul of Tarsus to Paul. And then he goes on to say, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I, Paul, have laid the foundation, and another, Apollos, or Cephas in this case, buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. So there is, in this body of Christ, in the plan of God, to have different men, different women, different believers with different gifts and different talents to bring all these together and build upon the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
It says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So after the good news of Jesus Christ has been implanted in us, once it has taken root, once we've received the teaching and the instruction we need, which is the watering of that seed, you know, that you have to have that watered, you have to have that explained, you have to have that understanding. There comes a point in time that we, all believers in Jesus, are also entrusted and responsible for what we lay upon that foundation that is laid. The prophets of the Old Testament foretold of a foundation that was to come. The apostles of the New Testament declared this foundation was made available to all men. And there was one keystone to this foundation. Have you ever heard the term chief cornerstone?
Oh, yeah.
that had to be set in place to make all of this possible. Mm-hmm. That chief cornerstone was not set in place in the Old Testament. Who is the chief cornerstone?
Jesus.
It's Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He came so that we can start to build upon this foundation, who mm-hmm. he is the chief cornerstone thereof. Now, near the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, right before the division of the Old Testament and New Testaments took place at his death on the cross, Jesus confronted the elders or the religious leaders of the Jewish people and said this to them in Matthew 21:42. He said, "Did ye never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." In other words, the builders, the people that should have been building God's kingdom on earth, speaking of the Jews at that time, the mm-hmm. very people he was speaking to, rejected this cornerstone. And Jesus was speaking of himself when he said that.
Mm-hmm.
When he was revealed to them. So, out with the Old Testament and in with the New Testament mm-hmm. when Jesus showed up. The Jews could no longer be allowed to build on God's kingdom on this earth. The building of God's kingdom on this earth would be, as Jesus told them in the next verse, taken from you, mm-hmm. he said that to them, the Jews, and given to a nation. Speaking of the Gentile nations that would believe in the cornerstone,
mm-hmm.
bringing forth the fruits thereof. And then he said this, "This is the Lord's doing, it's marvelous in our eyes."
Amen.
Yeah, the Jews could have gotten on board,
mm-hmm.
but they rejected that. Now back to 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So here we have it plainly stated, the foundation that we are to build upon as a church and as individuals mm-hmm. of the church need to be laid upon Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The only foundation. He's the only foundation. He's the only vine. He's the only door to God that has already been laid by God over 2,000 years ago, and every inhabitant of the world must accept that fact.
That's right.
To inherit eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
Once we've accepted this foundation, each and every one of us as believers, whether we know it or not, we are building or we are not building upon this foundation mm-hmm. that is laid. We are building upon it by what we are doing. In other words, we are building upon it by the works that result from our faith, with the knowledge and the revelation that we receive from God the Father concerning His only one and only truth. And then verse 12 says, "Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble," okay, so in this verse, our works are compared to these materials which would be laid upon this foundation. Some materials become more pure mm-hmm. in the fire, such as gold, silver, and precious stones, and others are completely burned up. Mm-hmm. such as wood, hay, and stubble. One thing is certain about what we build upon this foundation of Jesus Christ, and we find that in 1 Corinthians 3:13. Paul says this, "Every man's or every woman's or every believer's work shall be made manifest." Okay, in other words, the day is coming when everything we have done in the name of Christ, or everything we have not done when given the opportunity to do it in the name of Christ, will be revealed. It will be laid bare before us.
Mm-hmm.
This verse continues, "For the day shall declare it." You know what day I'm talking about, Brian?
The day of the Lord.
It's actually, for believers, it's the judgment seat of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Which we find explained in 2 Corinthians 5:10. And this is what Paul tells us in that verse. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, his earthly physical body," or her earthly physical body. This is speaking to believers now. It's not speaking to the rest of the world.
Sure.
"According to that he or she hath done, whether it be good or bad." Okay, mm-hmm. so good is gold, silver, and precious stones.
Mm-hmm.
Bad is the wood, hay, and the stubble. We are building upon this foundation.
Absolutely.
It's important for us to build upon this foundation things that are worthy and not things that are worthless. So this tells us after we become spiritually born again, we will be judged for everything we have done or not done for Christ the whole time we are allowed to live in our physical bodies upon this earth after our rebirth. The judgment seat of Jesus Christ, we are told, shall declare it. And how will it be declared, or how will it be revealed to us? Well, 1 Corinthians 3:13 continues, because it shall be revealed by fire.
Okay.
And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the judgment seat of Christ. So we are going to experience heat.
Yeah, it's going to be hot.
Are we going to experience fire at the judgment seat of Christ? And the answer, we can't contradict Scripture, is yes, we will.
Yeah, yeah.
We will. When we stand before Jesus Christ and look into his eyes, his all-knowing eyes, nothing will be hidden. We will be totally exposed. In other words, we will lay naked before him, and we will be righteously and 100% accurately judged.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have a judge, Brian, whether on earth or in heaven, you want that kind of judge. You want 100% accurate judgment.
Yes.
There's no partiality. Revelation 1:14 says his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. This is speaking of Jesus. And his eyes were as a flame of fire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Revelation 2:18 says, and this is Jesus speaking of himself now, and unto the angel of the church at Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. And in Revelation 19:12, we're told, his eyes were a flame, as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. All these images we have of Jesus Christ in Revelation are the images of Christ that we will one day stand before in the future. Flames of fire are for purging, they are for purifying, and they are for judging. After this judgment seat of Christ, we're told in 1 Corinthians 3:14, if any man's work abide which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. That's a reward that we are speaking of earlier.
Mm-hmm.
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But here's the good news. But he himself shall be what? What does it say? But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you, Lord, for your long suffering. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you, Lord, for your desire to sanctify us and to purify us and to mold us into the image of your Son. Help us, Lord, to get on board with that plan and not hinder it in any way. We ask this in the powerful and mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch.